Starts. We are now Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech. It is the week before Rosh Hashanah, this coming Shabbat. Whoever's mentally ready, if you're Ashkenazi, then this Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat, we start Slichot, waking up early, absolution by sleep deprivation. And what I'm going to look at today, I actually dealt with well, a couple of years ago. It's a subject, it's the story of Hakeel, the mitzvah of Hakeel. Gathering all B'nai Israel, teaching the Torah. And this approach is from Elchanan Samet, who's a Gush, his article in HaTanach.org.com. So last week's Parsha, Ki Tavo, ends the series, the long series of laws, the Ne'um HaHalachot, the Ne'um HaMitzvot, with the laws that makes up the bulk of Sefer Devarim, and it has a summary at the end. Of all those laws, and it says as follows: Hayom hazeh, today, Hashem lokecha mitzavcha lasot et chukim ha'eleh et mishpatim. Today, God's command you to do all these laws, all these statutes. Shemarta v'sitatam, you be careful when you do them. Kol bavcha v'chol nafshecha, all your heart and soul. The Rashi understands it says Hayom hazeh, that's figurative. Right, it says Hayom hazeh, Rashi's verse two. V'chol yom yiyu beinecha chadashim. Every day should be if like it was given to you today. Alehem, like you were commanded on them today. Shall be considered fresh and new. But Ramban says it means literally today. That this talks about the day that he gave that speech. That was the day that Moshe finished teaching Bnei Israel about all those chukim and mishpatim. Right? That's Ramban. As Moshe finished teaching explaining all the Torah, that's what all Sefer Devarim is, Chadesh Kol Mitzvot and to give the Chiddush and to establish all the new and to renew basically all the Mitzvot that you've been commanded, Hashem Lachadesh Ato Hashem Lachadesh Lahem, and that Hashem commanded, okay, now we're going to write them down as opposed to being Baal Peh, we'll write them down to Devarim. Lekach Amar Hayom Hazeh. Hi, Davida.
Oh, hi, David.
Right, so that's what it means when it says Hayom Hazeh, meaning today is the day we finish. Right, you've been learning this, I've been teaching it to you for 40 years. We're done. Right, because now I've finished telling you everything. So now we're going to write it down. Done. So this week's parsha describes Moshe's last day of life, gives him the last nevuah. This is the Hazina of the Tabracha, this is on this last day. And that's the start of Parshat Vayelech. Vayelech Moshe, Vayedibar Tavri Ma'elech Kol Yisrael. Moshe goes, walks around the people, and tells them, says all these things. He says, "Yomer lehem, Me'av V'Yashrim Shana Nochi Hayom. Today I turn 120. Lo Chal Od Latzit Lavavo. I can't go in or out anymore. I can't lead you. Shem Amar Elai Lo Tavar Tadeh Hazeh. So he told me, I'm not crossing this Jordan River. Rashi says, right? It's a Vayelech Moshe. Hayom malu yemei shnatai, v'yom zeh nadal noladiti, v'yom zeh amut. Today's the day I was born. I am now exactly 120, and this will be the day that I die. I know that. And then, before he tells him his last words, his brachas and all that, zina the bracha, he gives him a new mitzvah. Right? Here are all the mitzvah, and here's a brand new one. And that's the mitzvah of Hakeel. So Moshe writes down the Torah, gives it to Kohanim Bnei Levi, Nosim et Arobit Hashem, who are carrying the Aron, Bel calls it Bnei Israel, gives the Torah to all Bnei Israel. Right? I've taught you everything, I've written everything down, here it's for you. Moshe commands them. In case Sheva Shanim, B'moed Shnat HaShemitah, the end of 7 years, every 7 years, at the end of the Shemitah year, B'chag Sukkot on Sukkot, so that'll be actually the beginning of the next year. B'vokol Yisrael le'ra'od et p'nei Hashem l'kecha, when all B'nai Yisrael come for the regel, the see God, makom ha'shevchar, in that place they'll choose, tikra Torah zot. You read this Torah, negative kol Yisrael bo'zneihem, in front of all B'nai Yisrael. Akel ta'am, and I want you to gather all the people, anashim, v'anashim v'tav, men, the women, the children, yerecha shemasharecha, and strangers, l'man yishmu, l'man do so that they should learn, they should listen, they should learn. And they'll fear God. And they'll obey everything in this Torah. And the children who never knew this before, Yishmu Vilamdu, they will listen, they'll learn Lirat Hashem Elokeichem, they'll learn to fear God. And you'll do this every 7 years, all the days that you live on this land, that you're crossing now crossing the Jordan, the Rishta, to inherit. That's the mitzvah of Hakel. As the Sefer Chinuch puts summarizes it, Yisharshem mitzvah, the origin of this mitzvah is Lishmo Divrei Torah, she called Ikrono V'Hodono Hodano V'Tifartenu, that the Torah is our essence, it is our glory, it is Hod V'Tifaret, our beauty. That is what we're all about. Yevo Mitochach, and when you go to the ceremony, you'll speak about how wonderful the Torah is and its great value. You will come to love the Torah. And you'll learn through loving it, through this ceremony, you'll come to love learning about Hashem. And you'll do the right things, and Hashem will be happy about it. So that you can learn and fear God. That's the Hakel ceremony. And we know how it worked, that the king would, that they would set up a big platform in the Beit Midash, and everyone was surrounded. The king would read, not the whole Torah, but sections from Sefer Devarim. So Rav Samet asks, why is it here? Right, we just finished all the mitzvot, and then Moshe says, here's another one.
Is this the last one?
Technically, the one about writing Sefer Torah is the last one. Uh-huh. So you should write it down. That has its own discussion there, but you can go back to this essay here.
In a way, that's sort of like separate. It's like, wait, everything that I just said, now write it down.
So my argument there, that both of these are meta mitzvot. It's like we're done now, and here's what to do with all that set of mitzvot. This is a little bit of a different perspective here. So this is Rav Elchanan Samet. Why does Moshe give this commandment now? Assuming that it was in the Torah as written to them, but he's telling them, okay, after I've written everything down, and here's a mitzvah that's actually in the Torah, but I'm telling it to you about it now. And this time when he's leaving Israel, these are his last words. So why doesn't he include them with all those specific mitzvot in the Neumah mitzvot, in this speech about the mitzvot, in Prakim Yud Bet Chavav, the bulk of Sefer Devarim? Plenty of places you could write that. And the answer I would say is comes from the Sukkim itself. Mitzvah zu, the Kroat Torah Neged Kol Yisrael Mikesh Shavash Neim, this mitzvah of reading the whole Torah, reading the Torah every 7 years, Kushurahi B'Sefer Torah Shekatav Moshe. That's connected to the Torah. He writes the Sefer Torah down. He finishes writing it. He hands it to them and says, you're going to read this Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be this Torah. Shemasara ze'ata l'kohanim b'nei Levi, l'kozik nei Yisrael. We just read that. He gave that to the Kohen. Mitzvah halohi tikra et Torah hazot. It says, read this Torah. It's got a pointing to it. Atarash nimsra ze'ata l'kohanim zekinim. This Torah that I'm now giving. So finishing writing it could only be done on this last day of Moshe's life. There's a whole separate question I have about the description of his death. That's a separate discussion. Because it's got to include everything he has happened beforehand, so it's not going to be done until he is done. That's why you're giving this mitzvah now, to read this Torah, b'day sheva shanim, every 7 years. But that's not enough of an answer, because if there's a mitzvah to read it, he could have said somewhere else, the mitzvah that I will write down. Mm-hmm. When it's done, read it all, okay? Because we have a similar mitzvah that talks about, okay, the Torah, and that's in the story of a king. He's got a mitzvah to write his Torah, talking about the whole thing that, even if it's written much earlier, right? The king is settled on his throne. He will write this Mishnah, a copy of this Torah. even though at the point when that statement was made, there was no such thing as the Torah as written. Still, we know that it would happen. I'll say for you, write it on a scroll, and these same Kohanim are the master, they are the keepers of the master copy, they'll make a copy. I'll have this Torah and I'll read it all days of his life. The man, the same, like that. I mean, the same reading as we're saying here, that they'll learn to fear God by having the actual text of the Torah. Same thing that we're saying by Hakel. Again, that's not after the Torah is written. We can write that down earlier. So, Rav Samet tries to go back. Okay, so what's the reason? What are we trying to do with this? Quotes the Rambam. After the Rambam describes the ceremony, you have to set their hearts straight. Make sure everybody pays attention. You should be listening. Fear, with awe, and with joy, and with trembling, kind of all those emotions mixed together. Just like they have the feeling of the day it was given at Sinai. That's what the atmosphere should aim for. Even if you're really smart, you know the whole Torah. That language should sound familiar. They need to listen to this reading of the Torah. And someone doesn't understand. We should still pay attention to this reading. It's written there to reinforce one's faith. And you should see yourself as having been commanded today on this, that very day, as though you're just hearing God telling it to you right now. That the king who's reading it is the messenger of God, giving us the words of this Torah. So what Samet points out, and that says,
and they kept this mitzvah like how many years when they were new, once they get into Israel, they start keeping it.
Right. So as long as they're keeping Shemitot and Yovlot, they did this.
Oh, because I was going to ask, why don't we still do this?
That is a good question that I don't have a
we
good
did
answer.
It.
They do. Yeah. So the answer is
they have like a whole stage set up and the president, Herzog,
the
I
president,
think.
Right. So we talked last time about Wiskerod's argument that the president of Israel should act as regent for the Melech. So, right. So generally, the president, unless he's really anti-religious, will read the ceremony Hakeel in Yerushalayim. So that was
I
didn't
know.
It really should. I mean, it doesn't have the same force of mitzvah. I don't know. It doesn't have it. There's no big thing. That's to do it. But yeah, it's were you there, Davida?
And everybody could go by Zoom now.
We were there. Yes. Well, yeah, but it's really cool because it's by like the Kotel Plaza. We were there on Sukkot, so it was like, but it was like the Erev of the day that they were doing it. So we had left earlier before it got like even more busy, but it was getting really busy.
Oh, wow. Well.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes, so it's still a thing, or it has been rebuilt as a thing. And we'll talk about other aspects of it.
Is it a holiday, or when is it supposed to be?
Is it first day of Sukkot in the year after Shemitah?
Friday, and they can put it on TV and everybody can see it.
Is it actually, David, is it on Yom Tov?
No, I think they did it the first night of Chol Hamoed, I guess like the second night of Chol Hamoed.
Okay, so oral the first day of Chol Hamoed.
Yeah, I guess
okay.
I think so.
I mean, it makes sense because you really want it. And the Torah doesn't say exactly what day. It says B'chag HaSukkot, but it doesn't say what day then. And you want someday you can use your microphone and your TV cameras and all that.
I know, if it's televised, everybody can participate.
Okay. Right, yeah. So you got another 7 years. In Kol Safek, Ki Rambam Ru'eh B'mitzvot HaKel Tekes Shel Chidush Brit Sinai. So that Samet says that obviously the Rambam feels that this is a reenactment of Brit Sinai. That's the point. It should be, you should feel like you're at Har Sinai when you're there. You're hearing the Torah being given with the king. The reading it is the acting as the voice of Hashem. Amelcha koreh b'Torah, arei hu k'moshe, amashmiya ba'oznei Yisrael dvar Hashem. The king is acting as representative Moshe, who is God's representative, speaking the Torah. Amamad kulo hu efo v'en chazara amamad nitnata Torah b'Har Sinai. Whole ceremony is basically a reenactment of Mamad Har Sinai. That's what Hakel is. Tifsa ikronit zu shel mitzvah Hakel. So when we have this an underlying understanding of what Hakel is about, yeshna hashlacha yisodit achat. There is a, so I said translate hashlacha.
Delegation.
A what?
Delegation.
Validation.
Delegation.
Delegate. Is it singular? There's one, actually, it's one conclusion. Let me see how Google translates that.
Oh, I was thinking with a chet. Obviously, that's not, doesn't work, right?
There's one implication. That's a good word. Okay.
Oh,
implication. Okay. We'll go with that. One implication of seeing Hakel as a Mamar Hasinai, then the chot b'mamar Hakel lo no dal harbot yeda. Okay, that the parallels to Mamar Hasinai are not there to increase understanding. The goal is not to learn Torah. Kim lahamik chaviya is to, is to deepen the experience. The idea is to have the to feel the experience. It's the increase your yira, the awe of it. You're not supposed, you know, that's why the point is that if you don't understand anything, you still should be there to just participate, get the atmosphere. And if you know everything already, you're not going to learn too much by just listening to the words of the Torah. You should be studying Gemara at home. But no, that's not the point. That this experience doesn't require understanding. The actual words. But the spiritual basis. Are you translating hit konunut?
Preparation.
Hapnima shel godel hamashmaut shel mamar hazeh. To internalize how great this event is. Okay, the idea is that it's a reenactment of Mamar Hasina of the experience of standing together and learning the Torah.
They should do it as a sound and light show, Davida.
With lightning in it. So we'll talk about the fact that they don't do it with lightning and thunder and.
They had it. I don't know. I mean, we didn't see for the actual thing, but they definitely had like a stage with like lights and speakers set up. So I don't know what they actually did though. But
I mean, today we really could recreate it.
Recreate Mamad Har Sinai. So we'll talk about that. We're not actually recreating Mamad Har Sinai, which is, I guess, the point of why this is given now.
Oh.
Because it's more subtle than that. So there's a mitzvah of teaching your children about Mamar Har Sinai. They should always remember Mamar Har Sinai, right? That's the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Baki Shamer Lecha, Shamer Nashcha. Oh, you should be careful and guard yourself. Be really careful. Pentishkach Devarim, Asher Onecha, lest you forget the things that you saw. And Yasuru Mubabcha, lest you cast them from your heart. Koy Mechayacha, all days of your life. So you need to tell them to your children, your children's children. Yom Asher Amadato Tei Hashem Alkecha, B'chorev, the day that you stood in front of Hashem at Sinai. B'chorev, B'mor Hashem Elai, Hashem told me Hakel Liyata'am. Remember, that's that word there. So proving that the mitzvah of Hakel goes with Hakel, the gathering together of Bnei Yisrael at Mamar HaSinai. B'ashmim HaTavarai, and Hashem said, I will teach them my words. I said, duly rauti, they will learn to fear me. And that's what Mamad Har Sinai was, the point where they were supposed to learn to fear Hashem, just the feeling. As they live on the land, and they'll teach their children as well. That's kind of a hint that at Mamad Har Sinai, they hint that this Hakel was coming, that they're still going to teach them. And but the what's happening in Hakel is not about telling the story. You're not just telling your children, Mamar Har Sinai happened, you're bringing them there so they can experience. This is a quote from David Zvi Hoffman, late 19th century commentator, quoting Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch Amar, I didn't see this inside, so I'm indirectly quoting it, unfortunately. Sheshvat Yirat HaShemayim al Yodim, that children get the sense of Yirat Shemayim, Yira there. Ba'akatotza'ah, it comes as a result, Meharoshem Shemamon Makshiv Be'emav Yira. The fact that everyone's there listening, Be'emav Yira, with awe and trepidation. That has an influence on the very nature of the child, right? It has an influence. You're coming as a little kid, feeling that, coming back another 7 years later, a slightly older child, coming back as a cynical teenager, you're still getting that. Hopefully that will hit you, that seriousness of the event. Continues, and the Hoffman continues, Shvichim anu lebakesh tam yuchad mitzvah kriyazu. We need to find the reason for this mitzvah. And we have all the people together. Yishmu et parshiot haTorah, akirut haakiriyot, these fundamental portions of the Torah, misharishut yirat shemayim libam, that instill the awe of heaven in their hearts. Yachzeru lebonen b'mashi kibbul al atzman b'sinai nasev nishmat. That's going to bring us to understand what happened in Sinai when we said nasev nishmat. Trying to get that feeling that why the Bnei Israel said that. And they will bring that, well, and the people listening to it now will bring that into their hearts. So this is very similar to the incidents in Tanakh when they read the Torah. We had Yoshiyahu when he's trying to bring the people back. Ezra, you know, when Ezra brings them back in Bayit Sheni, he sets it and gets everyone together and reads the Torah, has the same purpose of this hakel, that which was recreated over and over again. Hashem, you should look at it over there. Sorry. Correct this. So this idea that everyone has to be there and experience it, and then, you know, even if you're a chacham and you know everything, you still have to be there. It's very similar to the way we experience Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Seder. So the Seder with the Kol Dar Vadar Chayav Adam Lirod Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatzah Mitzrayim, what to feel as though we left Egypt. Similarly, this is the we're supposed to feel as though we're there at Mamad Har Sinai with the experience of Hakel. So then why add this mitzvah after the new mitzvah? Why mention it now so late? We already talked about beginning of Devarim about how important it is to teach your children about Amar Sinai, that you should remember the experience. That was the Yom Ha'amarti Lakel Ta'am. So Rav Samet points out that after Moshe concludes the new mitzvah, all this list of mitzvah, last week's parsha, there's a new brief. That's the beginning of this week's parsha in Tzavim. You have the Tochacha, and he signs the brit again. You are standing all today. Yeah. End of Moshe's life. Standing before God. Your leaders, all the people of Israel. The children, the women. The strangers among you. From your hewers of wood into your drawers of water. We're going to bring you into this brit of God, and the curses associated with it. This is the brit, the covenant that Hashem established today. And if you look at the words of Mitzvah Hakel, it's very similar in the words to this brit Arvot Moab. It's not similar to brit Sinai. You know, talking about the Anashim, Nashim, Taf, Gercha, all of that together. Okay, really, so that really this Hakel is not so much a recreation of Brit Sinai, but of Brit Moav. Because the generation, what?
Oh, Arvot
Moav, right? They're in the plains of Moav here, right? Then 40 years later, he's doing this Brit ceremony again. Because the generation he's talking to is not the generation that experienced Mount Har Sinai. It was 40 years before. Even those who were actually there were little children then. Most of them weren't even born. So when it says we need to tell your children how to read Masher Ru'u Einecha, they can't do it because they weren't there themselves. So So effectively, this Brit Arvot Moav was a re-experience, a recreation of Brit Har Sinai. So we're basically doing that whole Brit ceremony with the next generation. And that's the way the pasuk ends, the end of Kitavo. Ela Devarei Brit Asher Tzivah Hashem Moshe. These are the words of this Brit that Hashem commanded Moshe, Lichrot Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem commanded Moshe to seal with Bnei Yisrael, Be'eretz Moav, when they were lit in the land of Moav. Milvada Brit Asher Kiratat Tambachere, besides the Brit that they had in the Chole. It's not really a new Brit, but it's a chance for this generation to have the feeling of what it was like. This La'amik Chavaya is Samet puts it, to deepen their experience of it. And so Hakeel is designed to reinvigorate the people with that memory. So we're not actually recreating Brit Har Sinai. There's no lights and sounds. What we're reenacting is Brit Arvot Moav, which basically was a speech Moshe going through the laws of the Torah. And the Melech reading it, reading, or the President of Israel now reading it there, is like Moshe reading the Sefer Torah to them. It's almost like our Seder. Right. What we do in the Seder now is a reenactment of what they did when they had a Korban Pesach, which itself is a reenactment of Pesach Mitzrayim. So Hakeel is a reenactment of Brit Moav, Arvot Moav, which is a reenactment of Brit Har Sinai. So that's why it says, that's why the mitzvah is after the statement of Hashlim Moshe Leber to Torah, after he finishes. Because it needs to be after the Brit that they experience. Because he said, he's telling the people, here is the Brit, this is what we're going to do now. This is a, that sense, a little bit of a sense of what it was like to be at Mamre HaSinai, and now you are going to do this every 7 years for your own children. Emphasis is on the experience, not textual learning. Moshe demonstrates what Hakeel is supposed to be. And that's why he says it here, Laman hakimotcha la'am, that you're here today to become people. For God, but who Elohim, and he will be your God, Kasher Dibirlach. Like he swore to your ancestors. And this is not just for you, not just with you that I'm sealing this Brit, but Halazot and these curses. Because it's for whoever's here now. Well, may the Hashem who's standing before us, this first Hakeel. And then also for those who are not here yet. So you're going to have to keep reestablishing it over and over again, because everyone needs that experience of being all together. It says that's why the ceremony takes place the year after Shemitah. Isn't Sukkot? Sukkot's the holiday of Thanksgiving. In a normal year, you've just harvested everything, you look at your storehouses, it's wonderful, you thank Hashem for your bountiful harvest. After the Shemitah year, there's no harvest. You're thanking Hashem for something very different. It's for being supported directly by divine providence. You've made it through Shemitah, that's a sign that Hashem loves you. And so that's an inherent experience of Bnei Israel after 40 years in the wilderness. You know, they spend this time in the wilderness not having harvests, being supported by the man. That feeling is what you're supposed to have, that feeling after the year of Shemitah.
It's after the Shemitah year.
Right.
It's at the end of the Shemitah year.
So Shemitah ends, you know, Rosh Hashanah, and then
Right.
Sukkot of that next year. So the first year of the next cycle.
Okay. Oh, right. It's,
Right.
right.
So that you're coming to it, and you're expressing your thanks to Hashem, not for the harvest on Sukkot, but for having been supported through Shemitah. So that's another, that kind of reenacts that sense of having been supported in the wilderness. It's just what that first Hakeel, Brit Arvot Moav is like. And this is Rabbi, as Ari Kahn citing David Zvi Hoffman, which I saw his commentary, but I did not see these exact words, so I'm going to, again, quote it directly. But David Zvi Hoffman takes the sabbatical year into account, explains that during the other years of the seven-year cycle, the Jews would enter Jerusalem at the close of the harvest season to offer prayers and sacrifices of thanksgiving for the produce of that year. On this, the seventh of sabbatical year, or the Sukkot following that, people would naturally sense the marked difference of the lack of harvest through their own physical toil, but would feel compelled to thank God for supporting and sustaining them. The image of God sustaining the people of Israel in such a fashion no doubt brings to mind the relationship of God and Israel in the desert when they were sustained by the manna. This return to the desert may now set the stage for this quasi-Sinaitic experience known as Hakel. In the hope that people will accept the Torah anew at the end of every seven-year cycle. So doing it every 7 years was specifically because that was after Shemitah, and that was kind of getting a little taste of having been in the Midbar, supported by Hashem. And so that we kind of get that feeling together, and yet that feeling adds into that feeling of being at the point of trying to reconnect to Ma'amar HaSinai. And so it's going to be after the Brit is finally signed, as sealed, that Moshe says, now do this every 7 years. But we don't have Hakel now. We try. I mean, it is reconstructed a little bit. And we certainly don't feel the deprivation of Shemitah, at least not those of us in the U.S.
We definitely feel Shemitah here, I think.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
In the sense, deprivation.
Yeah.
Bother. It's a lot of bother.
Yeah. I mean, so you're right. You have to buy your stuff from, you know, Holland instead of locally. But, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I think that the farmers have a sense of sacrifice.
No, I'm saying the farmers, though. The farmers, yeah, should.
They certainly do. I say it's, we don't.
Oh, but we as in non-farmers.
Me, personally.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking Shemitah here, as I experienced it, was a divisive thing.
Wow.
People didn't accept other people's observance level, and people argued about which one and, you know, which heter you accept. And
yeah, I mean, it was there. The actual
it was
argument.
All that. So then you have Hakel afterwards, like, okay, let's all come together again.
No one should do that. But people have also pointed out that what we celebrate at Simchat Torah is probably in some sense a recreation of that.
Huh.
That the original, that's the argument, the original Simchat Torah of finishing the Torah was probably from the original Eretz Yisrael's 3-year triennial cycle of reading the Torah, and the Yamshel Shlomo says it was actually 3.5 years. So basically you would finish the Torah twice in 7 years, and you time it to finish at Simchat Torah at the time of Hakel.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, so that's our argument.
Look at that gorgeous
baby. Hi.
I know, beautiful.
And so that was Simchat Torah, is there the idea that the B'chol Yom Yu Evinecha Chadashim, right? The sense of Yom HaZeh Hashem Okecha Mitzav Chadashim, commanding you today, you know, that we don't necessarily have the Hakel feeling there, but we can still do this because of that, kind of accepting the Torah all over again, publicly and all together with joy.
When the Torah tells us about the Shalosh Regalim to go to Jerusalem, is right. That also Nishtehem B'tapechem?
No, it's not. It's called Zuchuracha. No. Specifically,
so
it is
just Hakel is.
Hakel is the one that says to everybody.
So that's a huge thing.
Yes.
That everybody
was included.
Right.
Expected everybody to be there. So I think that's always been the question of why is there nothing in the halakha after the korban to commemorate that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think since
where are you going to go? I mean, you need a place to gather.
Right. So the first time I think they tried reconstructing was actually, I think, in 46, when I remember. Surely before the establishment of the state, where was Herzog the chief rabbi then of Palestine right before the state? I think he was one who sort of started, we need to bring Hakel back.
Oh.
I think 46 was the year before, after Shemitah then. I bet right, correct. It was shortly before 48. They kind of rebuilt, brought Hakel back. So I will stop here.
Nice. Thank you, Danny.